Good morning. I'm reading a few verses spread across the chapters 26 to 28 of Deuteronomy, which will highlight the theme that Rachi is focusing on this morning. You can find this on page 203 of the Church Bibles, but it will be on the screen behind me, hopefully. I'm going to read this straight through if you want to follow me. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in obedience to him, that you will keep his decrees and laws, that you will listen to him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, that you are to keep all his commands. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Be silent and listen. You are now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as his promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you very much for reading, Siobhan. Okay, so just before we go into a time of prayer, I'm going to read out a blessing that I found, which is sort of relevant with the theme today. Our walk with God is never a lonely walk. It's a family occasion, if taken in the company of God's children. If we lag behind, there are those who will turn and offer words of encouragement, hold out a hand and offer assistance over stars and other obstacles, share refreshment, help us from our knees when we stumble. Our walk with God is never a lonely walk. It is a joyful experience, as along the path others join us, attracted by the company of God's children, singing the same songs of praise that angels sing, following a path worn down by tears and joy and sacrifice. Our walk with God is never a lonely walk, for he walks with us on a track that leads to a glorious destination. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and proclaim how great you are. We thank you for the many wonderful things you've done for us, the beautiful and intricate world you've created for us to live in, the endless grace you've shown us in giving your son to die for us, and how you've taught us to live in loving relationship with you and with one another. We confess that regularly we fail to match up to what you require, that we're constantly distracted by the world of work, consumerism, and our own desires, so we fail to focus on you. We're sorry for the things we've done to offend you and to hurt one another. I pray that we would seek to reconcile with anyone we've hurt, and always be seeking to draw ourselves closer to you. We pray for anyone in our congregation who's hurting or struggling or in need of you. I pray that they will be steadfast in seeking you and would trust that you are there for them to lean on. I pray that we would be the answer to one another's prayers, that we would look for places where we can be a light in someone else's life. So often we look for divine intervention, when in reality you often work out your purposes through us. We commit this service to you, and I thank you that we can come together as a family to encourage and teach one another. I pray that as Rachi speaks from the front, you would work through her, giving her wisdom and sensitivity to what you want to say, and that you would work in us to teach us how to be more like you and to teach us how to live in better relationship with you and with one another. Amen. And now I'll hand over to Rachi for her sermon.
Morning, everyone. It's great to see all the friends and family of the Eatons. Just by way of a little introduction, we are in the middle of our series in the fifth book of the Bible in Deuteronomy, and is often wrongly viewed, I think, as a book about how we disobey God and how angry he is. So I'm going to be pulling out some other truths that I think are really evident and really relevant for today in chapters 26 to 28. So I'm going to be focusing on the thread of gold running through all of Deuteronomy about tender friendship. If you want to take your reading further, just two books, A Wonderful Derek Sherriff, some of you know, Friendship of the Lord, really brilliant book, and then bring it into the New Testament, Jesus, Safe, Tender and Extreme. So by all means, follow up on those. That's my thread for today. It is within our friendship with God that we read Deuteronomy, okay? Because it's the love that he initiated, not us, and it's a lifelong bond. And God wants us close to him. He does call us treasured possessions. If you remember, it was on the screen, verse 18 of chapter 26. Now, we see this so extravagantly laid out in Jesus, okay? That's how determined God is to come close to us. And Sandra reminded us in Inspire last week that centre to God's character is reconciliation. God has not pushed us away. So I want you to bear that in mind as we go through this passage and this chat today. The God of Deuteronomy wants us close, okay? And he goes to extreme measures to do so. Now, I'm going to open it up in a different way, okay? I'm going to open up in the old way. Before people stood up front, they told stories and they chatted around a fire. So I'm going to tell us a narrative and I'm going to invite us into it to go alongside our passage. I'm going to paint a series of pictures with words and in the process draw us closer to God. My story today is about my dog and the adventures I have with him. The images and ideas would not work in Ethiopia or Africa where dogs are not pets, okay? But we live in 2017 where dog is the national pet. Who has got a pet? A dog? Who's got a dog? Okay. Some of you may want one and not allowed one. And so it wouldn't work there, but it does work now. And I've called our story, Come, Follow Me on an Adventure in the Woods. It's a beautiful story, and he is a beautiful dog. And obviously, if you have a dog, your dog is beautiful to you. Now, I fell in love with my dog when I first laid eyes on him. Well, actually, that's a lie. My heart had been aching for him for years. We'd had childhood dogs, and I dreamt about the love and joy of a dog in a family. So even before Totem was born, I longed for him. Even before he existed, I was waiting for him. Now, my chance came. There were unplanned canal boat shenanigans in Rickmansworth, and it produced 10 tiny puppies, and I went to have a look. Well, actually, there's the second lie. I didn't tell Andy, but I went to choose. His dad, Dave, was sporting a red bandana with attitude, and his mum lived up to her name of Monkey. And I fell in love with him straight away. I mean, who couldn't fall in love with that? Come on. He's now 7, and he's totally part of our pack, and that's what he looks like now. Now, my dog and I have shared many adventures and many ordinary days. We have learnt to read each other, even though we do not speak the same language, even though he has a much smaller brain capacity, and even though he has different senses and lives in the moment. Now, here's the thing. I know when my dog is happy, content, relaxed, when he's scared or tired or ill, when he's cold or hungry. I know his yawns of boredom and his pleadings for a walk. I know what his favourite games are. I know he loves swimming and that he will chase tennis balls till his legs fall off. I know he can be trusted around anybody and that he jumps like Tigger in the long grass. I know the dogs he loves and the dogs that he's nervous about. I know he likes cuddling on the sofa in front of Downton Abbey. And that he's excellent as the murderer in Wink Murder, despite the fact that he's very baffled as to why we all die. So I know my dog. And my dog knows me. He knows he's not allowed upstairs, although over the last few months he's creeping up in the morning, again, much to my amusement and Andy's annoyance. And he knows he's only allowed to sleep on the blanket on the sofa. He knows not to expect scraps under the table. He knows we get cross when he barks at the back gate, but then he goes ahead and does it anyway. And he knows when we put our boots on, it means walk. He knows how to play hide and seek with our kids. And he knows that the chickens are top dog, pardon the pun, in the garden. So he may look, but he may not touch. He knows to stick close-ish on a walk, or he may get lost. He has to listen for my voice, because otherwise he doesn't know where I am. He knows that sometimes we rest on walks when he has to wait. Too bad. He knows that children like Jacob and Georgia are little, so he has to lie down for them to stroke. My dog knows me. Now, Totem does not have a massive word bank. He's highly intelligent, but as you know, he probably doesn't have a massive word. But these are his words, some of them. Come, leave, sit, wait, stay. Fetch, bring it to me, find it. Good boy. But what he does know in bucket loads is tone. And he knows my voice and he knows my tone. Now, the tone of Deuteronomy, our passage, is really important. We do not live thousands of years ago, but we can pick up the tone. And the tone I felt really, really wanted to underline was this tone of tenderness and friendship within this Old Testament book. Okay, tenderness and friendship. So Totem and I are deeply connected. Me, Totem, and unending love. Echoes God, Israel, unending love, found in Deuteronomy. Now, it goes without saying, if you have a dog, you know this, they have to go out every day. It is not an optional extra. It has to be a proper stomp, a chance to sniff, run, let off steam. And we have walked hundreds of miles together. We've explored mountains. We've explored coasts. He's not that massive on the coast, but he is too tiny, so I've pulled him out. We've explored coasts. We've explored rivers, fields and woodlands. And gardens. I like that one. And he's a healthy and happy dog because of it. And he also loves going on the tube. Now, I just want to make it really clear. When we go on a walk, Totem has no idea which way we're going to go, does he? He follows the directions that I choose. He will run in front or off to the left or to the right to explore. But ultimately, he follows the way I set because he is listening to my voice. He doesn't ask me to show him the map. He doesn't micromanage me and say, excuse me, but how long will we be out? And do you really know where you're going on the map? Which is generally no, I'm not very good at it. Or have you got enough food in for when I get back? Because I'm going to be starving. I'm just checking. Okay, we are friends, but I lead. And having a dog is not primarily about obedience. If you've got a dog, you agree? It's about friendship, right? Companionship, mutual enjoyment, agree? It is about trust. And dare I say it, it is about love. Now, I think all of us are a lot like Totem. And in my narrative, the dog owner is God. Now, don't confuse it. I'm not saying I'm like God, all right? Okay, but that the relationship has parallels. When I was doing this passage preparation, that really, I think, help us understand the tone of Deuteronomy and the relationship of love. We need to walk an adventure with God. It is not an optional extra. Remember earlier, Siobhan read all those bits of passages, and let me just put this up here. Moses said to them, walk with him, follow and listen to him, obey and listen, walk, follow, pay attention, because God wants to adventure with us. We don't see dogs take themselves for walks, do we? It's breaking the law, but also because it misses the whole point, surely. Totem needs me to set the pace, decide the route, taking the places I know he loves, and he relies on me to bring him home. Now, I want to suggest that Deuteronomy is about living inside a deep friendship. It is about living inside a deep friendship. So we're going to look and explore our friendship with God through five messages, I think, are in this passage. And I'm using it alongside Totem's story to help unpack it. The first one, don't chase the wrong things. Let me illustrate. Dogs enjoy it best when they're off lead, okay? But they need to hear, and they need training. If recall is strong, a dog can be off lead, hear you, come back. Off lead, hear you, come back. If they cannot do that, the answer is not a lead. The answer is training, okay? Most of the time, he's fabulous. 95% of the time, my dog has licked being off the lead. However, see one of these, and literally, he is gone straight across the fairway. It is highly embarrassing. You've got these beautiful golfers teeing off, and I'm going, sorry, sorry, sorry. Okay, completely, completely straight across the fairway. If that was a road, it would be fatal. He's only caught one squirrel in 7 years, and he's chased hundreds. He cannot help himself. He loves the chase. He loves the thrill. He loves the buzz. He loves the silly shouting with his when he nearly catches one. Totem chases the wrong things. And Deuteronomy 26, 28 points out some wrong things to chase. Here we go. Idol worship. Sex in the wrong context. Gaining things that don't belong to us. chasing independence from God. That's just a few. Have a dig around in 26:14 and onwards to see the whole list. We run after the wrong things, don't we? Well, I certainly do. Maybe we don't run after that list, but we do run after fleeting things. We try to catch the uncatchable, despite the warnings. We seem to forget. So we run into danger, and we run into real danger because sometimes we trespass into no entry areas when we run, okay? Totem has found a couple who put fox food out, and he runs into their garden, and I'm thinking, you're representing me in that person's garden every single day. But he hasn't got the no entry area idea. Deuteronomy makes it clear to the people, keep out of certain behaviours, keep out of certain areas. They're not to chase foreign gods, we talked about that last week, because there was child sacrifice and barbaric practice, but because they also represented God in the land. So I've come up with some few random examples for us today of the things that we may chase after. If the cap fits, wear it. Permanent youth. Massive pressure. Permanent youth. And if you're not young, try and look young. Free sex. Our culture is stuffed full of that. Bigger, better, and more stuff. Fame, fortune, recognition. Power and control over others. That's just a few. You could come up with your own list, I'm sure. Now, I'm sorry to break it to us all, but we all age. There's no such thing as free sex. The more stuff we have, often the more that we want. Fame, fortune, and recognition bring a special kind of misery. And power and control over others so easily corrupts us and distorts them. Yet we chase after these illusions. I sat on the tube the other day, and these are the things I spotted on above my head, just on a five-minute journey. Here we go. Beauty products that promise to make us look like a photoshopped model. A holiday that offers an unparalleled experience, and you know you deserve it. Treatment for baldness, because apparently hair is the key to love. Numerous food outlets to make life a bit sweeter. Ironically, right next to the adverts for how to lose those extra pounds. Adverts for very prestigious local schools, so we can just get that bit up. And then numbers and numbers of dating agencies, because you're not whole if you're single, are you? And you have someone out there to make you whole. That is chasing the wrong thing. And there are consequences to our chasing, Deuteronomy points out. Because chasing the wrong thing changes us, okay? Let's not forget that. We get tired, we get worn down, we get burnt out. Because so much of it is just like that squirrel, it is just out of reach. So we chase harder and we chase faster. And Totem has come back exhausted, actually, after a 10-minute futile squirrel chase and lies there. We can so easily lose our way, can't we? We get disorientated. We forget, actually, where we were going anyway. We can stop listening to the voice of our divine friend. So in Deuteronomy, the Lord commands us to listen and follow him for our own good. Now, Totem lost me for the first time ever recently. At 7, I thought he would be more mature than that, but hey. He lost me, and he was fixated on this squirrel, and he went deeper and deeper and deeper into the woods, okay, and further away from us. Be aware of our fixations, because it was a squirrel, and then he woke up, and someone found him, and he was absolutely terrified, because he had no idea where I was or what he was doing there. Wrong fixations lead to poor choices, often great disappointment and pain. We can end up not where we intended, and in trouble we neither imagined nor wanted. The Israelites did not fully understand the trouble they could and did run towards. And God is clear in our passage, listen to me, stick close to me. So what are our squirrel equivalents? What do you chase after? We need to be really honest. Second message in our passage is avoid the bins. Okay, when I'm out there in Joel Street, if we pass a bin, Totem knows there are always chips and scraps of KFC, always. I don't know why people can't get it in the bin, it just onto the floor. He has no concern for health or weight. He eats when he's bored, he eats because it smells nice, okay? And his nose is very close to the ground. So what do? My responsibility is to know where the bins are in advance, okay? In advance. I lead him away before we get there. But sometimes I have no choice but to do this, okay? A real hard yank on the lead. And it looks cruel to the passerby. It looks cruel to the passerby. But actually, I know what's best, don't I? God, at times in the Bible, and at times in this passage, and at times in our lives, has no choice but to yank very hard on the lead. Anyone experienced that? I certainly have. Because if he didn't, we will gobble up all the scraps and the rubbish, because he knows our propensity to gobble up the wrong stuff. Parts of Deuteronomy 26, 28 look very harsh, and it seems to be shouting, come away, leave. And let me let us into a secret. It is shouting, come away, leave. I cannot think of a single instant, can you, where the long list of poor choices laid out in chapter 26 would ever bring life, nourishment, freedom, or peace. Have you ever met anyone who kills a neighbour in secret? Verse 24, and it turns out good? Anyone? What about the times incest works out well and is a blessing? Verse 22. Show me any time a person's used an animal for gratification and it's gone to a long, happy marriage of mutual fulfillment. Okay? Listen to my voice. Come away. I have better for you. You are destined for more. This is really serious because the community is damaged when these things occur, okay? And it's so serious that Moses in the passage says this, I need to know that you guys have understood that God is saying leave and come away. And if you do understand, could you possibly say amen? If you look through the list, they go amen. And the people said amen. And the people said amen. And the people said amen. Do you understand, Moses says. All of the examples in 26 lead to deep down dis-ease, deep down community chaos and upset. They're tasty for a bit, sure, but they're vomit-inducing. A bit like mouldy KFC on the pavement, or arguably, if you're me, KFC anytime. Sorry, Jamie, to lean. Let's think for a minute then about the scraps that get thrown away that we are tempted to gobble up. We are not maybe tempted in the list in our passage, but what about these? Again, if the cap fits, wear it. Lies about our body. A love of money. Lies about God. Thinking porn is ever a good idea. Drinking too much to remove stress. Taking mind-changing drugs because they seem pleasurable. Thinking we're in control of any kind of gambling. Gossip about other people. Lies about other people. Fear and anxiety about other people. The idea that we have to be in control of everything. Apathy, selfishness, overeating, and the list goes on. And then after we've eaten all that lot, we then trough down a massive chunk of shame. And shame is what I really want to say is the thing that produces the most stress, because shame says you are not to come out in broad daylight. At all, because what you've done is so bad. So you cannot come to the community, you cannot come to God. Shame makes us run away from each other. So the second message, avoid the bins. Remember where they are, pay attention to them. Third message, that's the bins, yeah. Third message, learn and practice the commands. And this is really interesting. You remember those from before. Now, people say dogs are dumb. But I just want to say, Totem has learnt these in relationship to me, and I have not learnt these fully in relationship to God. I just haven't. So I'm going to go through some ideas that you may recognise. Come. In a minute, actually. I'm busy doing things that are really important to me. Actually, they can't wait. I'll actually come when I'm ready. Actually, I think it's me normally that calls you to come, isn't it? Come to my aid, God. Come and help me, God. Would you show up, God? Familiar? Come. Not yet. But leave. Dogs eat their vomit. They eat a whole load of other revolting stuff. And leave is a command that Totem knows, okay? But I have a tendency to return to bad stuff, and I just wonder whether you can relate to this. One example in my life is I had a very upsetting, broken friendship 2 years ago, and it has taken me 2 years to stop rereading the emails full of negativity about me. To go back to what was said to me, to rerun it in my mind, to think about what I should have done differently. So what about you? How often do you rerun in your head the time someone said, dot, 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 or the time you were let down by, dot, 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 or the time you were upset and they still haven't said sorry for, dot, dot, dot? God says, leave, follow me, come on. Or Totem has mastered it better than me. What about the next one? I love these three. Sit. Sit here? Why? For how long? What do you want me to do while I'm sitting here? Why can't I just get on? I have so much to do. You have no idea, Lord. I have no time to sit with you and pray even. I don't need to catch my breath with you. I'm very, very busy. I'll be fine. Well, anyway, I don't like sitting because it makes me nervous. Wait. Same as sit, but worse. Sit ends, but wait means this may go on with no clue of ending. I can't wait. I won't wait. You actually need to catch me up because you're so slow, Lord. I'm always out front anyway. I'm always setting the pace. You have no idea how hard it is for me to wait, Lord, for new direction, for my health and strength to return, for your choice of my next job, or for a partner if that's on the horizon. Waiting is boring. Waiting means I will fall behind. Sound familiar? Stay. Oh, my day, stay. I want to take control and direct the next steps. Are you mad? Stay in that church, slash house, slash job, slash friendship, slash marriage. This is way too hard and I don't want to stay. You don't understand how hard it is for me. Fetch. Bring it to me. I'm not really sure about that, actually. You may have given me a whole raft of good things, but they're mine now. And I will fetch, but I will not drop. I will hold on to this for all I'm worth because actually it's mine. I guess I don't trust you. You may never actually give it back to me. Find it. What do you mean find it? I've got to do the work. I've got to search and look and read and pray and talk to people to find truths out about you. That sounds a whole lot of work. Can't you just tell me and show me where the answers are? And then good boy, good girl. Well, I want this one all the time, no matter whether I've done the rest. So learn the commands of love and practice them. Our fourth one. Enjoy walking with God every day. We've mentioned this before. It's important to walk every day. Now, over the years, I've talked to a lot of Christians. I'm very old. And I often ask them, what is important to you about your faith? Why are you a Christian? Why do you follow Christ? And they often, not always, respond like this. Well, when I die, I'll be with God in heaven. Now, I just want to plug that into my narrative about Totem. That is like me opening the gate at the bottom of my garden, telling Totem to take himself for a walk, driving round the far side of Ruislip Woods, seeing him coming, opening the van door and telling him to get in and shut the door. What is that about? In that scenario, I have missed the adventure. I wasn't there, not there to lead, to guide, to make sure he didn't get in over his head in one of the rivers. I was not there to call, protect. I have no idea what he got up to. And I have no shared memories, so I've missed the joy. And surely I've missed the reason why I got a dog in the first place, right? So if we simply dedicate Jonathan today because we believe in heaven, which incidentally we do, okay, where God is face to face, finer details, talk to me after. I won't necessarily know any of my finer details, but we do believe in heaven. But if that's our one reason why we've dedicated Jonathan, we have missed this enormous truth, okay, which is that God longs to adventure every day, right here, right now. So God longs to have adventures with Jonathan every day of his life and beyond his life. And Christians believe in life before death as well as life after death, right? So why don't we live like we do? And incidentally, we trust Jesus to bring us home, just as Totem relies on me to navigate him home after a walk. So we dedicate Jonathan today to a God of the here and now, who wants to nurture him, to help him be free, and to be whole. And we dedicate him to a father who will say, leave, when necessary, and who'll call him to follow him into the great unknown. So we heard earlier, God says to Jonathan today, hear my voice, obey my commands, walk in my ways with a community of faith. We also welcome into the church family, which in dog terms is the pack. Here we go. It's a vital component if you're a dog. The pack. This is our pack. You can see top left, us, then the middle fam, our bigger family. Then we've got other groups that he's really close to, who he hangs out with a lot. But let me just tell you into secret. At Fairfield, we're a family, so fundamentally, you are all his pack. True. Okay? He does not tell us who's in the pack, actually. If we welcome you, he accepts you, end of. And the pack illustrates the church community. Why? Because of safety, nourishment, and sustenance in the pack, okay? And God is clear in Deuteronomy, as in the rest of the Bible, that how we live is vital. How we model God's love and friendship matters. Maybe you feel you cannot join. Maybe you think we're judgmental and cliquey. Maybe you've been hurt or pushed about by a Christian pack before and found them bolshy. Well, let me just say this. If that is your story, we are really sorry. But please don't judge God by our bad manners. Don't ever judge God by my bad manners. If Christians have hurt you or let you down before, then we apologize and we ask for forgiveness. And I have been bitten by Christians too in the past. Okay? I don't blame God for that. And the temptation to run away from them, actually, I've done the reverse and I've stuck with it. So we want Jonathan running wild and free in the middle of the pack, which is at the safe place. It is possible to be a Christian, not belong to a church, but it's way more fun in the group. Here are some of Totem's best friends. There he's on the beach with his cousin, Millie, and then there's Rosie, and then Holly down the bottom, and then Buster, who is enormous. He's like, okay. Maybe you feel as different from the person in church you view as Buster is from Totem. They're about that difference in height. But they're united, aren't they, in their dogness? And what unites us as Christians is our friendship with God, not our gender, our politics, or our theology. It can be a challenge working out the bizarreness of this family. Now, if you were running with the pack once and you've gone alone, then please come back. And if the pack is intimidating, tell us. But remember that God is pack leader. And if you were running with a pack and you lost the voice and you don't know where you lost with Jesus, can I encourage you to do this? Can you say, where did I lost with Jesus, and go back and look for him there? And we promise to help you. We now come to our final slide. Some things make us stink, that's a fact. If you recognise what I'm about to say as a dog owner, please, please make it known to me. But for some reason known only to dogs, they are obsessed with fox poo. Does that relate to anyone? David's, yeah, definitely. They have an adoration for it, and I have no idea why. They roll in it. They cover themselves from head to foot. They adore it. Let me show you a picture of my dog on Wednesday. There he is. He is plastered. It's to you. It absolutely reeks, okay? And the only thing for it is this. I have to scrub and rub and froth and rub and scrub and froth. And then he goes to his bed in the kitchen. And you know what? You can still smell it. My family will vouch. So he has no choice but to go in the kitchen and stay there. Okay? He reeks. Separation is the normal consequence of fox poo rolling. I am not being unreasonable. And Deuteronomy says there are consequences for rolling in really yucky stuff, because it cannot but affect our behaviour. As I said, our behaviour changes us. What we do directly affects those around us, and God longs to take us aside and do this. However, some of our actions do cause temporary and permanent exclusion from the community and from God for reasons I've just explored. By the tone of my voice, Totem knows I don't like him doing this. I have never hit him, and I never would hit him. God would never hit you and never will. Okay? But Totem cannot resist. Okay? The tone of Deuteronomy makes it clear that God doesn't like our sin rolling, yet he knows we are frail. And at times, it's pleasurable. Whatever pleasure he gets out of it, it's clearly pleasurable. There are many things in that list which we as human beings know is pleasurable. Separation from God at times is a consequence of our actions. But, as C.S. Lewis puts it, I know all about the despair of overcoming chronic temptations. No amount of falls will really undo us. We shall, of course, be very muddy and tattered children by the time we reach home. But the bathroom's all ready, the towels are put out, and the clean clothes are in the airing cupboard. The only fatal thing is to lose one's temper and give God up. It is when we notice the dirt that God is most present to us. So to conclude, Deuteronomy 26:28 says this, listen to my voice. You are my treasured possessions. You belong to me. Come when I call, leave when I say, follow me. Run with the pack and remember your manners, because you represent me to others. Now, I really hope that Totem has helped you with this, and actually he's come in to see whether, as a visual aid, to help you remember. Totem, come! Come, 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 come! Come, come, quick, quick, quick! Look, oh, look, come, come, come! Yes, come on! Sit, 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 sit. Oh, look, would you like a biscuit? Sit, 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 sit. This is where it all goes wrong. Sit. Okay, ready? Sit. There you are. Right, stay. And I've got a lead in case he thinks it's too exciting. He wants to go and find his other family. No, sit down. Sit. If you don't want to take our word for it, I just want to show you, to finish, this clip. Sit. Bear Grylls is the name synonymous with adventure, okay? Everybody know who Bear Grylls is. I'm going to play you his 2-minute, this is the only thing on the tube, sit, worth focusing on. This is being advertised all over the tube, and this is talking about his adventure with God. So we're going to end this part by looking at this.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it so often brought light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges. But finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure. Got questions about life? Try Alpha.
So just to end, if you have questions of me or of this faith, please talk to me, Chris, anybody else here. We'd be delighted. But I just really hope today it has shown you the deep love and kind of relationship that's come through Deuteronomy. We're going to leave it there. Please chat to friends. And yeah, wonderful.